Welcome to Paper Money, the bi-weekly podcast covering the business side of the game industry, from Vinci to Vietnam, 1965 to 1975, from Eurogames to Victory Games. I'm Ben Clark.
And I'm Rhett Kipp.
Today is May 22nd, 2011. We're not dead. That's right. And neither did we disappear in the rapture that did or did not happen May 21st. And we are not dead in that we are finally producing a show after a long hiatus. I want to apologize to everyone about that. As many of you know, I was on a contract job down in scenic Jacksonville, Florida, and have currently relocated back to scenic Allegan, Michigan. And that took a little longer than I thought.
Well, at least you did it in a nice time frame. You know, you were in Florida during the winter. You're back in Michigan during the summer.
I did. I snowbirded my career. So, I'd also like to point out we're late because Red is a lazy bastard and was not available last week at all.
What a suck, you know? Yeah. I can't believe him.
That guy. We should fire him.
I'm cutting his pay.
Yeah, exactly. What, are you going to send me money? Anyways, okay. So our show preview this week. By the way, I'm going to have to get a different spot to record the show shortly, but there's probably going to be some bad reverb on my end. I'm trying to mitigate it as much as possible with the high-tech pillows stacked around my mic and my computer monitor. But if you hear any reverb this week, folks, I'm really sorry. There's not a damn thing I can do about it. That said, let's move into the show preview. We don't have any corrections this week, basically because we've forgotten what we talked about last time. And we do have some news. We don't have a guest. And we're going to skip commentary this week. We're just excited to produce a show, let alone actually do a big commentary. And we do actually have some listener mail from our last show. So we'll be talking about that as well. Brett, this is where you could say something pithy and witty.
Huh?
Exactly. Let's move on to the news. And this week's news comes in pretty much two categories. One would be Attack of the iPad board game app.
I like that concept.
And the other one would be simply News of the Weird. So let's talk about the board game apps. As you guys know, there's a slew of iPad board games coming out. I just got Niroshima Hex. Small World has just come out. And let's see, Hey, That's My Fish, which was done by which is credited to FFG. So it sounds like that they didn't license it out. They did it. I'm sure they had a development studio do it for them. But if you look on iTunes, it is credited to FFG. Discovery Bay Games. Many of you guys remember that. Company is the one that did Library, which was Daryl Hannah's board game, that their board game company, they went out and got $12 million to create new iPad board game-like applications.
Yeah, I think they were shocked at the fact that they found
$12 million. They were. I think the lead paragraph basically says that the money, they went out and had angel investors just keep giving the money. Boy, that would suck, huh?
Yeah, you know, I'm bummed for them. It's a rough life.
Discovery Bay Games, for those of you who don't know, I mean, it started out as a board game only. It was a board game only company, but it wasn't hobby industry board game, right? These are guys who wanted to go into the mass market and have done some very creditable mass market type projects. So we mentioned Daryl Hannah's Library. I think there was an SNL, Saturday Night Live. Licensed board game and a couple of others. Right. So they've got some savvy, okay, in terms of getting the cash in and getting the games out. And so I think this is, but this is just again, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, well, you know, and it's a good media though. Seems like this is exactly the kind of placement that they want.
Oh, this is perfect for their kind of stuff. And I think their first title is licensed via the Smithsonian Institution. I think it's Smithsonian Artifact or Crap. No, I think it's Artifact or Fiction. All right, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
my apologies to the Fact or Crap people. And then there's another article out this week. Justin Gary of Gary Games was interviewed over at Wired.com. And if you ever wanted to find out how one migrates through the game industry, Gary gives a really great condensed version of his history in the industry, from professional Magic player to law student to game designer to all of a sudden brand manager, lead product developer, and, you know, just, you know, to business owner. Very interesting read. But they also talk about how they're turning Ascension, Chronicle of the God Slayer, into an iPad board game. So again, this seems to be the way to go. And you really, I don't know. I'm not sure how to take this. As somebody who, you know, who is a computer developer, who is also in the board game industry, I'm not sure how I feel about all of the iPad board games.
I think this is an untapped marketplace. I think the majority of people who they're gaining here are not your hardcore gamer, or you're not a board gamer, I should say.
Well, it certainly puts you in front of a much larger audience.
Absolutely. And, you know, Angry Birds, et cetera, et cetera, gives a pretty good example of the reverse of this, you know, where we've got Angry Birds coming up from Mattel shortly.
Yeah. Oh, thank God.
I was desperate for the Angry Birds board game. Yeah. You know, my iPad version of it just didn't cut it for me.
Yeah, I was hoping for a slower paced game. Yeah. but anyways, no, I guess one, the games are great. Okay. I have yet to be, cause quite frankly, I have Carcassonne, on my iPad, and get creamed regularly, by the way. I really, really suck at Carcassonne. And I have Nirishima Hex. I just got it, haven't had a chance to play. And I've had a couple other board games, and I've enjoyed all of them, okay? But is this a question of, are we moving to – is this – basically, we've been talking in the computer side of things. They've been talking about the, quote, casual gamer for about 4 or 5 years now, as we're moving away from these gigantic StarCraft-style games to – things like Angry Birds, okay, that's going to appeal, or, you know, think of all the little puzzle games, Bejeweled, all those little, you know, time killer games. And this is a huge market. Don't get me wrong. The question is, at what point do you become an iPad development company who also makes board games?
Well, you know, I think that's always been the case, and it's in the software end as well.
How do you mean?
Well, you know, developing a successful IP and then transferring over to the software industry and becoming White Wolf, for example, you know, where apparently the entire purpose of the EVE Online group, whose name I cannot remember the owners of, acquires them for the IP and then hasn't so far really developed anything for it, but I suspect they're still in works on that.
I hope so. I mean, White Wolf's been around for forever, but let's face it, it's been a while since you've seen something new.
Well, and you know, last year Gen Con was truly one of the eye openers. There's
sorry,
nothing in this
I'm
booth
laughing
except
I remember
a bar.
Yeah. I know. Folks, for those of you who weren't at Gen Con, I think Rhett and I both talked about this. It was like a goth bar. It was really, they had alcohol. It was a bar.
It was very cool, but yeah. It had no product.
There was zero product. It was like there were couches, there were drinks, there were people talking. I have no idea what the point of that was. I mean, what's it cost for a booth that size at Gen Con? $3,000, $4,000, $5,000?
Goodness, more than that. It's about, they were an end booth as opposed to an island. So they were probably playing around $1,200 for every 10 square
feet. Okay, and I would say that that was at least 30 square feet, maybe, you know, or 30 on a side.
I was going to say, yeah, it was probably a three by two or three by three booth.
Yeah, so we'll call about $5,000 worth of and advertising nothing.
Oh yeah,
other than your attitude.
Well, they did,
yeah,
and they were advertising a LARP that they were doing in, I believe it was New Orleans that fall. It was some large LARP event that they were doing in the fall, and that was really the only thing they were advertising. It was very odd kind of placement for a company who does still produce a ton of role-playing product.
Yeah, it was very interesting. But anyways, like I said, White Wolf I hopefully they're not stuttering in the transition to a multimedia company from a role playing game company. But anyways, so the iPad game market is definitely lucrative, but it's a totally different skill set in terms of development, right? You're gonna write your board game, but chances are you're not gonna be the same guy to write the code.
No, I suspect that, you know, the development will be worked on with the person who developed the game itself in order to, programmers are really good at a lot of stuff. I've been around programmers in gaming industry.
Careful where you go here.
For years, and they're really, really good. What they aren't typically is really creative. So they can tell you how to make this thing happen. You just have to tell them how to make it, you know, what the cool thing is they need to do.
Yeah, I think you're getting a much better game design out of a traditional game designer than out of your programmer. But what it does mean for small companies is you have a new expense and a new skill set you've got to try and think about if that's the direction you want to go in.
Right.
So, all right, well, let's move on to the goofy portion of the news this week. That would be
us coming back?
Yeah, that would be exactly. So. Yes, folks, the world did end on May 21st because Ben and Red finally got together and did a show again.
Cubs win this year, by the way. You know what? That's an absolute sign of the apocalypse. So.
Yeah, pretty much. Sorry, that's just not going to happen. So we're safe for another year with the Cubs. Anyways, Temple of Eloy is a new board game that's come out. Now, the only reason I bring this up is that, one, the Purple Pawn reviewed it, and God bless them, because it's unclear what you do in the game. But the gentleman who developed the game used to call me about twice a year and tell me how he was going to make 50,000 of these games, and they were going to promote the Temple of Eloy, which is a, I don't want to say a fringe Christian sect, but they're not a large denomination. And anyways, he finally got this game out, and they have a picture of the board on the Purple Pawn. And anyways, God bless him, but it's a goofy project. I don't think he did 50,000 of them. I don't know that he's going to make $1 back on this game, but apparently the Lord told him to make the game. And Rhett and I are telling you to run out and buy it.
And apparently he was also not worried about the rapture because of his timing on the release.
That was a totally different fringe Christian sect, I think.
Yes.
But Temple of Eloy, Eloi, again, they review it on the Purple Pawn, and you can go to their website, and maybe you can even buy the game and support Mr. Roselle Adams. Because, like I said, I talked to him for a long time. He's been trying to make the game, and there's no way I'm going to buy it. So you should. All right, that's
it. And enough said. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Moving on to news of the week. I don't like to trash people, especially single game company, first time designers type thing. But that one was loopy from the start. World War II becomes a. The odds are he's not going to listen to the show. World War II becomes board game in high school, according to one newspaper. And anyways, this high school teacher and their students developed a World War II board game, and guess what? It's a roll and move trivia game.
Awesome, because that's exactly how I would handle World War II. No one in the board game industry has ever looked at the World War II before in any way, so I can understand why they wouldn't have a model to work from.
Yeah, exactly. I was just like, really? A roll-and-move trivia game for World War II? Gosh, if only there were a good World War II design. You could have taken Axis and Allies and put trivia in that, and it would have been a better idea than a roll-and-move trivia game for World War II.
Just a very odd choice.
Anyways, there's a picture of the game board in the article that I saw, and it looks really complicated. Again, read the rules to Axis and Allies. What are they, like 3 pages? Anyways, sorry.
Is that with or without the, you know, various illustrations on how to properly handle the game?
I don't know. All I know is that 4 weeks off the air, and I've become bitter and mean. Should drink more before the show starts. FFG makes a Gears of War board game. And again, I'm going to be mean here and go, yawn.
I'm not sure on this one.
Okay. Gears of War is a good game.
Gears of War was an interesting game.
FFG is a good game company.
FFG is a phenomenal game company.
But I don't know if the world needed another FFG computer game adaptation right now.
Who knows? I haven't played the game. I can't say. Now, you know, I have a lot of kudos to give to FFG for some of their recent developments. So, you know, if they make an error in this one, that's just fine. We'll talk about the Lord of the Rings tearing up the shelves soon.
Oh, well, you know, I'm still waiting for Blood Bowl Manager. That said, our final news of the weird entry here comes from the Jacksonville.com website, which has it can only be described as a semi-lucid article about board games.
How not to write a gaming article?
Yeah, folks, if you're with the press and you're going to write an article about board games for your local paper, because this is the Jacksonville.com website, is the Jacksonville, I don't know, Times Union or whatever the paper is. And, okay, if you're going to write, there's a couple of narratives, all right? Local game store opens, closes, local man invents game, local family enjoys games and plays them and stuff. Okay, these are your three big narratives. And what we have in Jacksonville.com is local woman plays game segues into stolen quotes from Jay Tomlinson and Gamma. I won't say they're stolen. This person may have actually talked to these people, but I swear I've seen these same quotes by these guys elsewhere on the web. So
maybe they're scripted for them as well. You know, anyways, maybe they just, anytime someone calls, they just read from their script.
They just send them an MP3. But anyways, I mean, like I said, I'm glad to see the games. But it talks about a woman in Atlantic Beach, which was literally like right up the street from where I lived in Jacksonville Beach, playing board games with her family and stuff, and then segues into NPD group saying that board game sales were down 9% in 2010. And okay, no mention of the fact, by the way, that board game sales were up more than 10% in 2009 and 2008, but that's beside the point. Anyways, so folks, if you're bored, go over to Jacksonville.com and read. I'm not even going to post a show link on this, and see how not to write an article about local board games.
And it's probably also good for anybody who's thinking of, you know, how to write something for their blog or, well, no, I'm saying for their blog or, you know, maybe for their advertising for, you know, whatever they're doing on the launch of their game. Yeah. Don't write like this.
Yes, exactly. Journalism still requires, even in an op-ed piece, the inverted pyramid. And if you don't know what that is, for God's sakes, Google it before you write a journalism article. Okay, let's move on from the stuff that has made me bitter and mean. Look, wading through as much of my Google News alerts as I have, that alone will make me bitter and mean. Having to read about Temple of Eloy and goofy articles from Jacksonville.com, doubly so. But anyways, this is really great news. And in fact, independently, I find out from Rhett that this guy is at their store. Chaosal is finally coming out. Let me give you the website, www.chaostle, chaosol, like castle, chaos, chaosol is finally coming out. This really great guy, Mark Jacobs, has been working on this game forever. Okay. I worked with him off and on, when I was, printing games, and I could not get the plastics done for this game. And Mark finally found a way to get it done. And I believe he took the large chunks of it overseas, which is pretty much what he was going to have to do, I think. But I thought the game looked absolutely fantastic. And Rhett, you tell me that.
Well, they've done posters for it to launch this. They've done flyers for us to launch this. All the major distributors are doing their bit to promote along on this game. And apparently he's coming to demo it at our local store.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're in the Chicago area, you can actually see this game before it comes up. But Mark's kind of doing this the right way. He's really he waited to produce this game until he had the capital to do it the way he wanted to get it done, to make it a good game. And then he's also made sure to invest the capital in the advertising and the promotion on this product.
Yeah, and from the standpoint of the visuals of the game, the game looks visually very attractive. So he's done a really nice job with his plastics.
Yeah. Now the last time I talked to Mark about this project was probably about 2.5 years ago. But the gist of it was you had different characters with different attributes, but the way that the board was, you had basically combinable castle walls and things like that, so you could kind of change things from game to game. And it looked, like I said, it looked absolutely fantastic. And I'm glad to see it's finally coming out. This is just one of those stories. It's kind of like the opposite of the Temple of Eloy. This is the game I've been rooting for, right, for 5 or 6 years to come on out from a small, you know, you know, guy with an idea kind of thing. And Mark's finally getting it out there. So look for Chaosel. It's chaosel.com. And again, if you're in the Chicago area, you can catch demos at Rhett Store, which we'll go ahead and actually mention at this point.
Games Plus.
Games-plus.com. They'll probably have the schedule up on the demos. So that said, we actually have some listener mail.
Message for you, son.
This is before we disappeared for four weeks.
That's right. You know, so they've given up on us, which is why we have no current listeners.
Yeah, we don't have any current listeners. Our old listeners sent us an email. And this is from Laz the Infamous, who we answered his question on the show last week. last year, I think it was. But anyways, he says, hey, guys, thanks for asking my question. And his question, by the way, was about basically online old – basically art PDFs and things like that of old issues
the legality of certain things.
Exactly. And so we talked a lot about that, but he says, the reason I was asking is because recently I've been going through and rereading my old RPGs, D&D 2nd Edition, and West End games, Star Wars. I'm not sure, but it seems that there's a growing population of people playing these older games, like the so-called old school revolution of D&D, or the fan compilations / source books for the prequels for WEG Star Wars. He shows his age, by the way, by calling them prequels. My son thinks those are the first three movies. The thing with these is that it seems like less people are playing the newer versions of the game. And I was wondering if the BitTorrent's old second-hand editions and fan compilations were eating away at the game pie. With most of these resources, it becomes ridiculously easy to play a game without sending without sending dime one to the original publisher, both legally, illegally, and quasi-legality. I find it an interesting topic dealing with my two favorite things, RPGs and the evolution of business. Thanks again for addressing my question. Now, this brings up a question that, or a subject that Rhett and I kind of want to talk about, and that's the fragmentation of the RPG pie.
Right.
And I've talked about this before, being as D&D becomes less dominant, that this is going to happen, but, let's say that there's $100 million spent on role-playing games. This might be a fantastically inflated figure, but let's just say that $100 million is spent on role-playing games. It used to be $60 million of that went to TSR.
At least.
Yes. Now, the way that works now is, say, $30 million of that goes to TSR, and the rest is split up among, I'll call it 200 different companies.
Yeah, and Ben is showing his age by referring to Wizards of the Coast's D&D as TSR.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I total gaffe on my part. But you see where we're going here, right? So there's the amount spent might still be the same, but the companies are splitting it into that are getting a piece of that pie are getting smaller and smaller, right? Well, so you now have PDF publishers who are printing 250 copies of something that they're selling for, you know, $2 a piece or $9 a piece on DriveThru RPG, and it's a great product.
Well, we see, but, you know, it's diversifying even more on, you know, any one company being healthy from RPGs is what we're certainly seeing.
Exactly, and what it does is it lowers the barrier of entry into the marketplace. However, it prevents any one company from achieving a big market maker position, which might be good, might be bad, but like Rhett said, it prevents any one company from being super fiscally healthful.
healthy is the term you're looking for.
I swear to God, I'm all
helpful. I'm not sure. You need something a little strong there. But, you know, this is very obvious if you happen to have access, like some of us do, to numbers from, let's say, a decade ago and currently, and you know, very popular games of the past, their sales have diminished half, a quarter of what they were. Mm-hmm. They're still healthy games. They're still strong games, and they still have a very strong following. Yeah. It's just that there are more choices than there's ever been before. It Correct. Wasn't like they've all been absorbed by one company. You know, I would say looking at some of the things, you know, a lot of companies changed with the demise of third edition, mm-hmm. you know, which certainly changed the playing field on all those independent companies who were, you know, capitalizing on Wizards mm-hmm. licensing there. But, you know, we've seen numerous superhero games out there now. There used to be two that were fairly dominant in the market. There's now about half a dozen. And that was for years that those games dominated the market. Mm-hmm. You know, we look at all the new genres that have opened up that weren't there in the past, even 5 years, 6 years, things of that nature. A lot of tie-ins, you know, movie tie-ins, television tie-in type of series, RPGs. The indie press, you know, indie press goes right to your point of, you know, the guys who are publishing just amazingly small.
And plus you think too how the gaming dollar is distributed, whereas it used to be, I had my Dungeons and Dragons stuff, my role playing, and I was a war gamer, right? So I'd have my war game stuff, but most guys weren't war gamers. They didn't spend it on that. But now everybody is a board gamer of one sort or another.
Seems to be. It's definitely dominated the market.
So these companies are, like I said, everybody's still getting, like I said, I think the industry is still as a whole, making about the same amount of money, if not more. But it has fragmented, greatly in terms of that income distribution. So, and that's one of the things we're talking about here. We have old school D&D. We've got, you know, D&D second edition. We've got, you know, guys playing, you know, old West End game, Star Wars, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Oddly enough, to
ask the music industry, by the way, how well this works.
Yeah, you know, to go specific on one of your questions in particular, we'll take West End. I don't really think that's comparable right now because the Star Wars license isn't out there. There's no active manufacturer for the past year on Star Wars, which kind of still surprises me. That is my true what the heck is going on with that license question of the year. Had already anticipated an answer and still no. No company has laid claim to the fact that they have that license.
Despite Rhett's vehement insistence that sooner or later someone is going to make an earth-shattering announcement about it.
I will stick to that. I just hope it's sooner than later.
Yeah, exactly. If only for your predictive capacity. So, Rhett, why don't we wrap things up tonight?
Well, for our listeners who want to also send us questions or inquiries or just plainly tell us that they like us and they are still listening.
Yeah, we'll definitely read those letters.
Yes. You can reach us by email at papermoney@purplepawn.com. You can Skype us at Paper Money Podcast, or you can phone us at 773-634-9377.
And you can check out our RSS feed at www.purplepawn.com/category/papermoney/feed.
Yeah, upcoming stuff. Well, we have one big upcoming stuff if we consider a month only. That would be Origins.
That is correct.
And then I believe there's a few other smaller conventions. I believe the book trade one is coming up soon, though I don't have dates on that.
Is that in Chicago again? Is that the American Library Association show?
I don't know where it's at this year. I failed to follow through and find out where it was at.
No, that's fine. ALA does their big show. I think in Chicago every year.
It has been
Book Expo or something like that. But anyways,
that's pretty much our upcoming things. You know, hard to, you know, Origins, big one coming.
Yes, Origins and Gen Con, folks. If you're thinking about it, make your plans now. It's almost too late.
Yeah, Origins being June 25th, I believe, is their start date on that one. Mm-hmm. And Gen Con being something like the 2nd or 3rd of August. Oddly enough, the 2nd of August is truly right around the corner for game conventions.
Yep, it truly is.
Well, that's it for this week. Our next show will be June 7th. And Ben, again, might be on the road.
Well, I might actually be dead on the road. I'm supposed to run my first triathlon on the 4th. So they might be scraping me up with a shovel on the 7th. But we'll see how it goes.
Well, we'll get a nice box for you. You know, all your friends will show up and we'll sing lullabies or dirges or some combination of the two.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'll be hydrating with beer by then, I hope, actually, by the 7th. So we should be in good shape. We're going to talk about Origins a little bit. And God forbid we actually have John from Gamma back on the show. But again, we will be talking about Origins and what's going to be there. And You know, we ought to get on the show.
Who would you like on the show?
Randall, who is very excited about some stuff coming out at Origins. I keep getting emails from him about it.
Randall is very excitable. He's you know, he's fun because Randall has been doing this professionally now for like 15 years, and he's still the kid in the candy store when it comes to even his own products that he's been touching for, you know, year upon year.
Yeah.
And he's just thrilled to death to be able to play a game.
Yeah, Randall Bills, folks, from Catalyst Game Labs, is our favorite game nerd of all time. But again, we'll be talking about Origins on the June 7th show, and I think that's it for this week.
Yep, that's it for this show. I'm Rhett Kipp.
And I'm Ben Clark. I think we kind of muffed our ending there, but that's okay.